Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you today. And again, I also want to say a happy Father's Day. As we were looking at the video, what a powerful video, to see all those that it was referring to as far as who they wanted to honor. There is one group that I do want to mention that wasn't, but it's a group of people that for some reason or another ended up having to fulfill this role of fatherhood. And that is, it's going to seem odd, but a happy Father's Day to our single moms. And so that you have to play both roles and had to have maybe played both roles. I say that because it means so much to me that I have a powerful mom that had to raise five kids. And so it was a challenge. It was hard. And so it never fails for me to call her on Father's Day to say, happy Father's Day. We chuckle, we laugh. But she knows she had to work really hard to kind of fulfill both roles. And she did her best. She tried hard. And it was something that we were able to be thankful that she was always one to not necessarily try to say that she was a father role position, but much more so kept pushing us to the Father, even to this day. As I speak to her, she's always pointing to the Father that, hey, keep looking at him all the way through. Praise God. What a powerful time of worship. Amen. That was awesome. Let's thank our worship team and our team back here. Guys, that was very powerful. That was just a special moment right there, just being in God's presence. And it's something to know when you just know that God is here. God is in this place. He said where two or three will gather in his name, he will be there in the midst of them. And clearly we know that he's here. Praise God for that. Amen. Well, look it, I have a message, but this message, yes, is directed to our fathers, but to our men. So if you're not a father, I want you to know this is for you as well. But ladies, you just don't have to sit there and listen, but you could also take in and pray, God, how does this apply to me? I want you to think about an individual, probably the most respected and known individual among the Jewish people. And this is King David. And King David was one that clearly, as you know his story, he's not one that has shown the best example of being a father. We've seen his story, we've seen what's gone on in his life. But there are some things about him that I want to bring out, and I want to emphasize to each one of us how in some scenarios, in some cases, we need to take this example that David set before us, and I'm going to take it in a different perspective. You see, to just be a father and to be the best man you could be is one that you can't just do it by yourself. You need the example, you need the instruction, you need the help of others to guide you, to lead you, to show you the way. Where am I going wrong? Help me. How could I be a better dad? I remember when my first son was born, and he was crying in the middle of the night, and we were able to calm him down. And I remember laying there and just tearing. Not crying, not bawling, not whimpering, just tearing to the point where I said to my wife, I don't know how to be a good dad. I don't. I didn't have the best examples. My mom, like I said, tried. She did all that she could. My grandfather was there. He had his issues. My uncles were there, and they were distant. But feeling sorry for myself. It was 3 a.m. I was tired. But it was just one of those moments where I just really thought I didn't have the best example of what I would say I would like to model after. I had to do it, learn it, whatever way that I could. I want to take you into David's life a little bit, because there's individuals that play key roles in his life that I believe each one of us need those key roles as well. Ladies, this does apply to you too, is if you would want to take this. There's individuals that David had close to him that he actually referred to as friend. These individuals were one that he allowed into his inner circle. Now, that's something that each one of us only allow only so many people in our inner circle. I want you to think of, let's go outside of David. Let's look at Jesus' example. Jesus had the multitude. From the multitude, the Bible says that there was 70 disciples at one point. Some versions say 72. Then let's narrow it down a little bit. He had the 12 disciples. Out of the 12 disciples, he had three that he really spent more time with, and he would go pray with them, Peter, James, and John. James and John were known as the Sons of Thunder. They had a cool nickname. But out of those two, there was John. John actually referred to himself as the Beloved. In other words, hey, I'm the one that loved Jesus the most. If there was a competition, who loves Jesus more? He put himself right there as number one. He kind of proved it at the end there, at the cross when Jesus was there. All the disciples had scattered, but the one that was there next to his mom. And he said, John, take care of my mom. Mom, take care of John. Paraphrasing. You see, from large groups of people all the way down, there was those ones that were closer and closer to Jesus. What about David? I want to go right into 2 Samuel. We're going to go chapter 16, verse 15. Just a few verses I want to read to you here. Now Absalom and all the Israelite people entered Jerusalem, and Ahithophel, that's an awkward name, was with him. When Hushai the Archite, the friend of David, came to Absalom, Hushai said to Absalom, long live the king, long live the king. Then Absalom said to Hushai, is this the extent of your commitment to your friend? Why have you not gone with your friend? Hushai said to Absalom, no, for whom the Lord, this people, and all men of Israel have chosen, his I will be with, and with him I will remain. Furthermore, whom shall I serve? Should it not be his own son, as I served your father, so shall it be that I'll serve you. Okay, what did that all that mean? Hushai was an individual that when David came into reign, David was one that wanted to make sure everything was in order. So he called the servants to come from the palace. And he called them all and he set them all in a line. And he basically was giving them duties. Now, this is your responsibility. Can you imagine you now have this beautiful, huge home and you have many servants now, people working for you. And they're waiting for their job assignment. And you go to one and you say, you are the gardener. You're the maid. You're the cook. You're the chauffeur. When he gets to Hushai, he says, now imagine, all of them are getting, okay, oh, I'm the cook. Okay, I'm the chauffeur. I'm the gardener. And he gets to Hushai and he says, and you will be my confidant, my friend. Then he goes to the next one and everybody's like, what? And Hushai's like, yes. He got a role, a position with David that nobody else got. He was that confidant. He was that individual that was there next to David. And when David needed to confide and to talk with somebody, Hushai was there. And in this scenario, Absalom had rebelled and Absalom declared himself king and he was now coming after his father. And Absalom sees Hushai and he says to him, Wait. I thought you were faithful to my dad, your friend. He even emphasized your friend. Is this how you show loyalty to your friend? By coming with me? Hushai basically says to him, the great way that I can honor is to honor the son of my friend. I served your father, I'll serve you. What Absalom did not know was that basically David had sent Hushai and say, look, even though my son wants to kill me and wants to take over, Hushai, I'm sending you. Go serve him. Keep an eye on him. Make sure he's safe. Even though he wants to kill me, make sure that he's going to be all right. So in Absalom's view, Hushai is not loyal to his dad. He's now under him. Hushai knows his loyalty belongs to his dad, his friend. Throughout all those years, Hushai was there to confide in. My friend, I believe we need a Hushai in our lives. We need someone that we can talk to. We need someone that we can go to when we're stuck or in trouble or at a crossroads and don't know, do I turn left, do I turn right? But before you say, Lord, I need a Hushai in my life, I'm here to challenge you, dads. I'm going to challenge you to be a Hushai to someone else. I'm going to challenge you to do even the best you could to be the Hushai to your own children. There are many scenarios where we have children that say, yeah, I have a father, I have a dad, but I don't talk with him. He don't talk with me. I don't know him. We're distant. We're far apart. We had issues and we don't talk anymore. Man of God, I'm challenging you now to do whatever you can to reach out to those that are under you, to be the Hushai in their life that they know that they can call you and say, Dad, can we talk? I have an issue. It may have to be you to take the first step. It may have to be you to say, to swallow the pride and the issue and say, I want to be the Hushai to my own kids. But there are other people that need Hushais in their life. Maybe some friends. Maybe those that are younger than you. Maybe people that are inexperienced. People that you know you could help. It just takes for you to say, I'm willing to help. I believe we all need Hushais in our lives, someone we can confide in. That person may not be your best friend. That person may not be the one you hang out with all the time. It may not be the one that you want to go to the movies with or go bowling or go golfing or do whatever with. It's just that you know that person is there for you, or maybe you're there for someone else, that they can look to you and they have your number. Prior to Hushai, there was another individual. When I mentioned the idea of friends with David, I know most of you that know your word, you probably immediately went to Jonathan. And you're right. When David was a young man, Jonathan, the son of the king, the son of Saul, him and David hit it off. These guys were buds. These guys were close. As a matter of fact, Jonathan actually said to David, whatever I have is yours. How would you like the son of the king, ladies, the daughter of the king, to say to you, whatever I have is yours. You can do that. You can take it. I mean, that's crazy. That's something when you know you've got that kind of a friend that'll let you use something and no hesitation. Hey, can I borrow your jacket? Can I borrow your shoes? Can I use it? Hey, can I? You see, Jonathan in David's life, he wasn't the one that maybe David confided in, but he was the one that he enjoyed having fellowship with. I believe every single one of us need to have those kind of people in our life that we're willing to go and have fun. We may not get deep in our time together. We may not go out and just spill the beans on everything that's going on in our life, open a can of worms or anything like that, any other metaphor we want to use here. But we just need some good friends to just, hey, let's go and do something tonight. It didn't get deep. It didn't go crazy. It just was fun. And I believe that's the relationship that Jonathan had with David. So David had his buddy to hang out with, but when he needed to confide in anybody, he actually went to Hushai. Is it that he was disloyal to Jonathan? No. They had different roles in their life, in David's life. Later on, when Jonathan was gone, David loved Jonathan so much that he actually took care of some of Jonathan's family, especially one of his sons who had a disability. He actually let him and said, from this moment on, you will eat at my table in honor of your dad. how much he loved his friend Jonathan. And maybe some of you say, hey, I've got that kind of a friend. I've got that Jonathan guy. I've got that one friend of mine that we just love to do things together. We're not really deep, but we love to do things together. I have a friend like that. His name is Mark Walker. Mark Walker, for me, has been my closest friend going on like 26 years now. 26 years that him and I are there. Now, we don't see each other all the time. I don't call him every day. But it's one of those settings where I know, just want to hang out. I just need somebody to just going to go hang out with. And even much so my son Isaiah over here, he loves hanging out with us because I believe Mark in Isaiah's life is a Jonathan. We talked about that coming up. Who is the Jonathan in your life? And you say, I don't have one. I want one. Don't raise your hand if you want one, okay? But inside you're like, I want a Jonathan type of friend. If that's the case, my friend, I encourage you to be a Jonathan to someone. Take the first move. Dads, I'm helping you here. How do I be a better dad? How can I be a better dad? How can I be a better man? Ladies, how can I be a better person? How? By taking the first step and be willing to get your life into someone else's life. It may not have to go deep like a Hushai, but at least it's to a moment where you're engaged and you're having fellowship and you're enjoying each other's company. It was so exciting driving into the parking lot, Pastor, coming into this parking lot and seeing all the cars. It was like, whoa, there must be something else going on. No, God is in this place. God is moving. God is doing things. Excited to see what God is going to do amongst the youth and our young adults. God is doing some big things here. Have fellowship. Get involved. Be a part of each other's lives. And when the opportunity comes and there's some kind of gathering, a social, or something happening where we can engage, get involved. Again, you don't have to get deep. But maybe in those settings, you find that one person who is that Hushai that you could eventually confide into. We do need to vent. Raise your hand. Do you believe we need to vent? Everyone needs to vent. You hold it in deep down inside. One day, you're going to vent. It's called a volcano. You don't want to be erupting all over in the bed in the worst situation. We're all going to vent at one point or another. Let's vent. Listen, let's vent to godly people. Amen? Okay, I'll say that again. Only a few heard me. Let's vent to godly people. Okay, well, still, okay. All right, here we go. Look it. Let me share with you about this. When you vent, not to allow it to become gossip or an anger fit. When you vent, vent to someone of authority. If you're venting to someone who has no power whatsoever to change the scenario, you're gossiping. But when you vent to someone, hear me, that you know is going to be able to change the atmosphere. Because you see that Hushai person is going to be praying for you and helping you and guiding you and leading you. It's going to change the dynamic of what you're venting. You might say, well, I have my spouse to vent to. My friend, be careful in how you vent to your spouse, not in an anger fit. Well, it's my wife. I can tell her all the horrible day. Or it's my husband. I can tell. Yes, you can, but not by being angry and yelling of what happened that day. But say, help me pray for this situation, rather than that no good scoundrel, blah, blah, blah. We're blank, blank, blank. Okay, you know what I'm saying. Hey, I'm not done here. Listen, listen, listen. There was another person that he called friend. Now, this individual we all need, but we don't want. You find it, Samuel. Just keep reading, following chapters. This individual was named Nathan. You see, what Nathan did is that Nathan came, he was a prophet, and he came and he actually told King David that he did wrong. David, Bible says, when winter ended and springtime came, that the kings went out to war, to battle, to bring provision. But David stood back. And one day, as he looked out his window, he saw a young lady bathing, which he should not have been doing because he should have been out to war. But he stood back and he manipulated the whole scenario, had her husband killed, and brought her in. He thought he got away with it. But in front of God, God uses Nathan to come to him and say to him, you did wrong. We all need friends in our life that are not afraid of us. They're not afraid to hurt our feelings. They're not coming in a judging way, but they're coming in the voice of God, in the heart of God, by helping us so that we get back on track. You see, this prophet came to him and said to him, what you did was wrong. You understand what I mean? That we all need this, but we all don't want these kind of people? Who likes to be told you did wrong? Or do you really just want a lot of friends that say yes to you, even though they know it's wrong? But they're just willing to tell you whatever. The best thing you and I could do is to ask God to use us to be Nathans to other people, to be willing to guide people to get back on the track, to let them know, hey, this is what the Word of God says. This is the way the heart of God moves. This is the way the things of God are. And be willing to share that. Be willing to be an individual. Dads, I'm trying to help you here. I'm going through what I go through in my life, what I'm sharing with you right now. I need individuals in my life to tell me that I have not done right. And what was the outcome? He could have killed him. He's the king. The king had the authority to take out whoever he wanted to. But the piercing of God's conviction came upon him so much that he repented. You see, when you come in a loving spirit to correct and to rebuke in a loving way, in a godly way, it's for repentance. It's for us to realize, oh man, I did wrong. There are young men, even our own sons, that need to be told, son, you're going the wrong way. I'm saying this because I love you. Now, Isaiah and I have had many of these conversations. No, I'm joking, Isaiah. But seriously, we have had talks, and I know you had, and you've done the best you can with your kids. But don't stop. Don't stop. Be that voice of God to them, a Nathan. The last group, as you read towards the end of 2 Samuel, you'll find out that there was a group of men that hung out with David. They were called David's Mighty Men. 37 individuals that were a ragtag, motley crew. It was a group of guys that were just some pretty rough characters. Is it wrong with hanging out with pretty bad characters? Hear me. No. As long as you're the one who is influencing them. If they're influencing you, yeah, it's wrong to hang out with that crowd because they're going to draw you away. But they were dedicated to David because David was on the run because of his son Absalom. He didn't have to run. He could have taken Absalom out if he wanted to. But he loved his son. But these guys, they could have been in the splendor of David's presence in the king and in the kingdom and in the royalty living. But when David went on the run, these guys were like, we're going with you. Doesn't matter how much we have, we want you. We're willing to go where you go. What kind of group of people would that be in your life? Maybe it's a church body, the bigger crowd. Maybe it's a team that you're on. You play softball or a bowling league, or you have a group of people that gather, a bigger group, whatever it may be. I encourage you, get involved with whatever crowds you can be involved with. Get in there, be active, be a part of what's going on. But here's the key to it. Be the influencer. Be the one. Be the David in the setting. where those men, they were willing to die for him. Men of God, dads, show your kids that being a part of other people is a good thing. Don't have the mindset of us four no more, just for us and our family. It's an introvert type of thinking. No, we have to be ones to share the light of God that's inside of us out there to those who need it. And to be willing to go and to share the good things that God has done in our life to the bigger crowd. Maybe that team. Maybe golfing with a bunch of buddies. Maybe whatever setting you're in, that you're the influencer in the whole thing. Ultimately here, what are we talking about? Dads, what are we talking about here with all these friends? We're talking about, I need people in my life. And I need to believe that people need me. The Bible's very clear. You older men, train the younger men. You older women, train the younger women. It didn't say old man, train. It said older. Older could be 20 years old helping a teenager younger. It could be a 30-year-old, or it could be a 60, 70-year-old. Ladies, there's a lot of young ladies that need guidance. There's a lot of young ladies that are just going astray. We need you to help to dive into their life and to be those friends. But Alfred, I need friends, absolutely. As you call out, you've heard the term, you've seen it before. If you want love, what do? You give love. You want friends, what do? You be a friend. I believe if we were to apply what we're hearing today, from this moment on, that you're going to see your circle of influence is going to grow, and you're going to be healthy as you grow. Because you've got people pouring into you, and you're willing to pour into them. This is fatherhood. I'm willing to share with you what I have. I know some may say, but Alfred, you don't understand my circumstance. My kids don't talk to me. Or Alfred, we're in a bad scenario right now, or whatever it may be. I've got some hard decisions that need to be done, and people aren't happy. We're not perfect. But as we seek the will of God through His Word, and we find out, God, what is it? What is it that you have for me? Well, how can I be used? Yesterday, I was with a group of people as we were doing an outreach, and there was a little kid that just came up, and he walked up to me, and he looked at me. And when we were giving him food, he said, it got me really good. He looked at me, and he's only probably 3 or 4 years old, maybe 5, I don't know, a little guy. He looked at me, and he said, he goes, we haven't eaten. And then he looked at me, and he says, you're a good dad. I'm like, what? I don't know, is he thinking I'm his dad? I don't know. I'm like, I'm not your dad, kid. You know, I'm just, but it was just like, all we did was bring food to the apartment complex. But it was just a setting where he was just like, you're a good dad. I'm like, whoa, that got me. I believe those are words that every father wants to hear. You're a good dad. But it starts with every single one of us by looking to him and saying, you're a good dad. You're there with me. You'll always be with me. Amen. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up. Pastors, thank you again for giving me this opportunity. Linda, we could.